Psalm 22. Now, this is a prophecy, really, about Jesus on the cross. And although these are the thoughts of David, they're very clearly describing Jesus on the cross as he dies and all his sufferings. And Jesus quotes this first verse when he dies. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my crying? So, Jesus calls God, my God. It's quite clear that Jesus was not God himself, and that here he's absolutely praying to my God to help him, and he says, why or how have you forsaken me? Because the Bible's always saying that God does not forsake those, he doesn't leave those who love him, and yet God will forsake those who are wicked. So Jesus, it seems, has this panic that he's dying, and he's sinned. Well, he hadn't sinned, of course, because he never sinned, but he was so connected with us, he was so identified with us, that he felt exactly like us. And he died, of course, surrounded by sinners and criminals. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you don't hear, and in the night, and I am not silent. You remember how on the cross there was an unnatural darkness for quite some hours. So he's saying that during the daytime and when that night, as it were, that darkness came, I cried to God, but you didn't hear me. But you are holy, O you who is full of the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. So then, the Lord Jesus went through the problem that we all went through. Why don't you hear my prayers? Why don't you answer me straight away? Why do you apparently answer everyone else's prayers but not mine? And yet he holds on in his faith. So when you have those feelings, they were exactly those of Jesus on the cross. All those who see me laugh me to scorn. They shake their heads saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him if he delights in him. Well, that's exactly what was said to Jesus when they said, come down from the cross that we might see and believe. But Jesus knew that you don't believe by what you see, because faith is based not on what you can see, but on unseen things. But you are he that took me out of the womb. You made me hope when I was on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from the womb. You are my God from my mother's belly. Don't be far from me, for trouble is near. There's none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. They surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They gape on me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melted in the midst of my body. My strength is dried up like a sherd of broken pottery. My tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you've brought me into the dust of death. Well, you remember how Jesus said, I thirst, and they gave him that vinegar to drink. For dogs have surrounded me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Well, that's exactly what they did with Jesus. They pierced him in his hands and in his feet when they crucified him. And, of course, when he's risen from the dead, he shows those marks to the disciples. So it all literally happened. And it would even seem that Jesus, as he had those marks in his body after the resurrection, he may still have them now, and we may even see them when he comes again. I can see all my bones. They look and stare upon me. So then, as he was looking down from his crucified position, all his bones sort of stuck out. But we're told in Ephesians that we are the body of Christ, of his flesh and of his bones. So I think it means that when he died, he was also aware of all of us. They part my garments among them, and upon my clothing they cast lots. You remember they said, oh, it's a shame to tear up his jacket, let's play the dice and let's see who's going to get his jacket. And they did that right at the foot of the cross. They were all caught up with their little petty materialism, just a meter or so away from the Son of God dying for the sins of the world. That's how powerful materialism is. But don't you be far from me, O Lord, O you who are my strength. Please hasten quickly to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword and from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, yes, from the horns of the wild ox. I will declare your name unto my brothers. In the midst of the congregation will I praise you. Well, that's quoted again by Paul in Hebrews when he says this is true of Jesus. I will declare your name unto my brothers. That's us. So again, you see that Jesus in his time of dying was very focused upon us. You that fear the Lord, praise him. All you, the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hid his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. My praise will be of you in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The humble will be satisfied. They will praise the Lord who seek after him. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the tribes of the nations will worship before you, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the ruler over the nations. You see in this psalm how the thoughts suddenly change halfway through. You could say that this is because, well, part of it is the thoughts of Jesus on the cross, and the other part is when he rises from the dead. But I would say that it starts, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this is Jesus in panic, in crisis, and he's feeling that, oh no, I've sinned, oh no, God's angry with me, God's not going to come through for me. And then he gets the point that, sure, I am going to die, but I am going to be resurrected, I've not displeased God. And then he dies with this wonderful vision of us, what he calls the great congregation, the great ecclesia, the great church. He dies with this wonderful vision of us in the kingdom. That was the joy that was set before him. All the ends of the earth will eat and worship, and all those who go to the dust will bow before him. A seed will serve him. It shall be told of the Lord unto the next generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness to a people that shall be born, that he has done this. Now that last phrase, that he has done this, that can also be translated, it is finished, which were the very last words of Jesus on the cross. And that's why, again, I suggest that this is Jesus persuading himself on the cross that although I feel forsaken, it seems God's not answering me, now I get it. Sure, I am going to die. I really am going to die. I'm not going to be saved at the last minute, but I'm going to be resurrected, and it's going to bring forth a wonderful group of people who are going to be in God's kingdom. So he died in some way thinking of us, thinking of you and me, in his very last moments.